strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 10th. I'm your host, John Armstrong, and with me today is Jacob Jones. How you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing awesome, especially starting my morning with you. You know, the man on the street, the man with the, his ears to the street, knows all the tea, knows everything that's going on. I'm excited to be here.
The live feed streets, yes.
I was thinking, not a normal street, the live feed streets. Mm. But I was thinking, I was like, I woke up tomorrow, even yesterday morning, and I was like, is anything spicy going to happen? Because we've kind of been seeing like the flip kind of got dialed back and it wasn't really happening. And I was like, okay, you know, what am I really going to talk about? And then, you know, they were like, all right, Jacob, we're going to give you something to talk about today. And so I'm excited to deliver all the juicy things that happened in the Big Brother Canada house yesterday.
Yes. It's going to be an interesting day to talk about. As we do talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds, it was day 11. In the house, and we had our, at least on the live feeds, our first house meeting.
For what? Why? Have we ever seen a house meeting be conducive to the person that was bringing the house meeting up?
I mean, the Derek one is always the pretty okay. much the only example. Yeah.
Okay, the only example, and even. In my mind, I was like, for why? For what reason? Because the only person that, I mean, Josh looked bad before, perceivably so, to the people in the house. But Jed, I feel like, just did something that he didn't need to do that made people look at him in a totally different way that they, you know, probably didn't look at him before. And it was just like, Jed, why? You're playing Big Brother. People lie. People throw out your name. LaToya said it best in the second episode, the first eviction of the season. If you heard your name, you should be hearing your name because we're playing Big Brother. Period.
We have a house meeting going on today, but there's also some other stuff to talk about. So we'll get through day 11 in the Big Brother Canada 9 house. We started the day with Kiefer and Ro. Kyle and Ro. They're hearing that that Josh is going to say some stuff about Ro to try and get him evicted. And this is all sort of leading up to this house meeting moment where Josh, as we talked about yesterday, he has a plan. His plan is to throw Austin under the bus for the day 3 stuff. Say that Rohan is trying to get Jed evicted. Say that he's willing to be a pawn. And also say that Austin is going to be his target. And so he's already started to say some of this stuff, and it's already starting to get back to Ro, and he talks to Kyle about it. They also talk again about trying to pull in Austin and Brayden if they can. They feel like, Kyle is starting to feel like maybe Austin and Brayden aren't in an alliance. Maybe they're not actually with anyone in particular, and maybe that means that they are willing to work with us. I think in this particular case, his read is actually kind of right, but it's actually Austin who has the wrong read on herself.
That is the key to the situation. Austin has the wrong read on herself. And I was definitely impressed with, I've been impressed with, I know Ro hasn't really gave us that much this season, especially. I was super hyped for him by his preseason, you know, talks about, but I mean, we're in week 2. And so, you know, I think some things are starting to unravel, and I really love love his conversations that he has with Kyle and kind of the lay of the land of how he perceives the house going. And I think Austin perceives herself being much more in a group than she actually is. And Ro has picked up on that. And so if they can highlight that and get Brayden and Austin with them, I think, you know, we can see what happens. But I don't know if they will have their undying trust, because I feel like Austin is so like, oh, I have Ty, I have Jed, you know what I mean? And so I don't think that she's like really looking at, looking at Ro and Kyle as, oh, you know, I definitely need these guys to advance my game.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And I have to imagine if Ro and Kyle do approach Austin, first of all, if they do it with the same pitch that they gave Toya, oh, we got to go against Jed and Ty, and like they're going to run the game, then that's going straight to them.
Absolutely.
And even if they don't approach her with that, and it's just like, hey, you should work with us, she'll still go to Jed and Ty and be like, oh, great news. Ro and Kyle want to work with me. And so I'll be able to use that. And they'll be like, ah, they do that to everyone. We've heard that they tried to pull in Kiefer and whoever, and they'll try to make sure that she's anti them, or at the very least milk information out of her, about them. It's just not going to be a great situation, unless she fully turns on Jed and Ty, which I just don't see happening, in the near future.
So, but I'm like, what voodoo spell, do they have like a voodoo doll of Austin that like, why is she so, because I don't feel like they have gave her that much of a, I really want to work with you. I've seen like different conversations and, you know, friend vibes per se. I was a little bit hoping for a showman, thought it was going to be a showman. But they haven't gave Austin that much for her to cradle their relationship so deep to her heart. And it saddens me because I was like, Austin, you have Brayden. I'm hoping that Brayden can talk some more sense into you to be like, yo, girl, look at your surroundings, open your purse, read the room, and it's not exactly what you're thinking it is.
Yeah, it really is. It's she talked about this actually. I think it was, might have been with Kyle. She talked about herself, and she said that she can be like a hard person to crack. But like once you're in with her, like she is like ride or die for her friends. And so I think she's just one of those players that like they got in early and that's it. Like, nobody else is going to have a shot here because, she's in with her people. And now those are her people. And she doesn't realize that she needs to be playing this game.
So sad, because I love a fluid game. When I root for people, when I see people make it to the end, I always like to highlight the fluidity of their game. And I feel like Austin is week two, so I want to give her that much of like a leeway. But I just don't see a fluid game coming into the near future, because she thinks she's so solidified with this one group that can honestly toss her to the wind and not look back to see if she's okay. And so we'll see.
We'll
sweet
see.
Girl, pretty girl, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, Austin is going to talk with Brayden and Jed a bit about how she has a conversation with Tina a little bit earlier in the day. And Tina does a pretty good job of talking with them, making them feel good.
I love Tina. I love Tina.
Tina making it work. Austin and Brayden both feel pretty good about Tina. They do not feel good about Tara. They do not like Tara very much. There's a lot of anti-Tara stuff going around. Austin and Brayden don't like her all that much. Victoria really doesn't like Tara. Victoria is like all about targeting Tara. Tara also, by the way, later in the day, will let Jed. She's already approached Austin about putting Jed on the block and then told Jed about it. She's also going to tell Jed later in the day, yeah, if I win HOH, I might put you up on the block. Just, you know, so you'll win the veto and stuff. Just
but
to
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So foolish.
You're not. You have a 1 in 11 shot at winning HOH. Like, you don't need to let him know this far in advance.
Not at all. And it's like, I at times I forget Tara's in the house, and And then she reminds me of, you know, doing some lackluster of moves like this. And I think Tara's like, oh, yeah, I'm playing the game. You know what I mean? But no, baby girl, you're not. And this was an idiotic move because we're this like you and Jed don't even have that relationship. I don't really. The only person I see Tara connecting with is Tina. And so I can see her filtering. And I think we have seen her filter ideas and theories to Tina. But that's the only person that you should be talking to, Tara, because you have not locked down anything with anyone. And I don't feel like you haven't even locked down your perception of your idea of the game with even the audience. And so I don't know what you're doing. And this just blows me into another universe of like, what the hell is Tara doing?
Yeah.
Hopefully she'll pull it together, but I don't see it happening.
I think that she feels like, I think Tara is one of the people, like she does feel on the outs in terms of like the whole house. Mm-hmm. But I think almost because of that, she's clinging to like her team even more. That makes sense. Like if you feel otherwise insecure, you tend to cling to like the groups that can make you feel powerful. So the fact that she's never been vulnerable in the game and that she's on the immune team that is winning HOHs and safety, I think she feels like, I mean, well, obviously when our team wins safety again, like it's like, I think in her mind, like there's going to be five people left in the house that are available for a nomination, and her team is definitely going to be safe.
The team thing paints a false sense of security for the people that are on. I mean, we've seen the one, I think it's Team Defender, not be safe. Is it Team Defender or Team Destiny?
Team Defender has been vulnerable. Yeah.
Yes, Team Defender. And so Team Destiny, I feel like, just have like some members. Other members have been going to work and because they know, okay, I'm safe, but let me also position myself so when I'm not safe. But people like Tara, I feel like she can sit in that comfortability of, oh, I'm safe, and like kind of just like float around and not really solidify anything just because she has been nothing but safe in this game. And so I'm hoping the team twist is like the rest of the house is, and some of the people outside of the house.
So they're gonna get some more TikToks today. This time from some former house guests. I believe at least we didn't get to see many of them, but with the one from Adam, there was like a bit about the secret assassin twist, and then Adam pops on and he's like, "Hey, house guest." They got one from Poutine Poppy, Anthony. They got one. Apparently, I think they got one from Mitch. Really some heavy hitters here.
And they got one from Sarah, who they thought was Megan, who they thought name was Megan.
Yeah.
Another one.
Many of them are thinking that this is probably going to have something to do with the competition. Like, we got to remember what is said in these things, stuff like that. So, we'll see. Sometimes they give, like, this seems like one of those things where it's like, well, obviously this has something to do with the competition, which means it actually won't. You know what I mean? They do that to them sometimes.
It was like just a sponsor thing we have to put in here and, you know, make it look cute and make it look fun. It was a very cute moment in Flashback Fridays for a lot of people, but it was cool to see.
Yes. Tara is going to talk with Kyle as well about like, you know, them working together and them trying to pull an Austin and Brayden. Tara thinks it's a good idea. And so she's kind of on board with that. She is not aware that Kyle and Ro are still trying to work on Kiefer, who is just leaking information. She actually doesn't trust Kiefer as much, but she is on board with the plan to go with Austin and Brayden.
Yeah, good read on her for not trusting Kiefer that much. Good read. We have to give her a point. We have to give Tara credit when she does something. Yes. It's a good read on her for that. But I'm trying to see. I can see why she would want to work with Austin and Brayden. But because, you know, she can kind of see them as being on the outside as well, even though, you know, they may not see themselves as being on the outside. But when I'm looking at, okay, who can I go towards and I kind of offer an alliance, is people that I feel like I already have some sort of a relationship with. And I just haven't seen Tara and Austin and Brayden have that much of a relationship. And it's oftentimes something like, Tara, where are you getting these things of, oh, I'm just going to, you know, pop into this room and ask this group of people for an alliance when I personally have not seen any indication of even a tight friendship or anything like that, you know? So what is giving you that opinion that, oh, this is definitely some people that I could work with?
Yeah, because Tara clearly does not realize that. I mean, here's the thing. Tara has realized that Brayden and Austin don't like her very much. Maybe she's thinking mm-hmm. that, like, hey, if we get an alliance with them, they won't hate me anymore. It's actually not a bad thought, to be honest. But they're certainly less likely to want to work with Tara because they don't like her.
that's where it's oftentimes easier to get into a alliance group with people who you kind of naturally connect with. But I was thinking about this the other day, of like, if I was in the house, what would be my like starting strategy? And if I was Tara and I don't naturally get along with a lot of people, I feel like she naturally gets along with Tina more. But I feel like for me, I would go towards the people that I naturally don't connect with out of like a natural, you know, just connection, because, you know, talking to them and being social with them would come easier. So I would go towards the people that are like, you know, the Tinas, or I don't know, even possibly, you know, the Kyles, and kind of like really enforce something with them just so I couldn't like it, since it won't come naturally, if you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. And so see, that could be something that Tina is trying to do, but I'm just like, I want Tina. I mean, not Tina. I oftentimes get confused with the two T's, Tara, to succeed. But it's just kind of fall into the wind. But hopefully, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, she talked with Kiefer about this too. Like she just has trouble relating to the younger mm-hmm. players in the house.
Yeah.
Because she's in a different point in her life. And that's why she gravitates toward Tina, because mm-hmm. Tina can really relate with her on many of those things. So, you know, she's definitely, you know, the person who is having the most amount of trouble fitting in with the younger crowd, which, mm-hmm. Which is interesting, because I think we kind of saw that coming. But you know, it's, I think a lot more extreme than we anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that.
So there's, you know, there are some conversations here and there throughout the day. There's a lot of talk about what we're going to do next week with the HOH. Mm-hmm. And the problem with these conversations is that nobody really locks in anything, because they're all too like, well, anything can happen. You know, like teams could be done. Teams could be different. They could switch. They could swap members of teams, and that would change what we're talking about. You know, and or like, you know, maybe we would need to do this. Maybe we would need to do this. And so there's just too many different possibilities that they can't control. And so, like, even though they're talking about it a lot, it's just really pointless.
Yeah. Do you have a theory on next weekend about the teams thing? I don't know if you've talked about it, but do you have a theory?
I mean, my theory is that we're just going to get straight teams again, same teams. Okay. I feel like we're probably not going to switch or anything. You know, I feel like we, in terms of where the show is, like we barely even know who these people are. So the idea that they would like swap teams or anything is like, I don't, like they haven't even introduced the Sunsetters yet. Like what? You know what I mean?
Yeah. TBH. Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. So yeah,
they're full gung-ho on the showman's edit. They're full gung-ho on the showman's.
Well, I can't wait to see what they do with today's events. We finally get after a bit of the day. There's a little bit of build up here. People start hearing things. Jed starts hearing things about what Josh is saying. And Josh is apparently saying that Austin is the one that came up with the Pretty Boys 2.0 thing, and that he took the heat for it or something along those lines is what Jed is hearing. And so and he's hearing that Ro is coming for him. So he says, you know what? Let's just call a house meeting. Let's just get this all out in the open. He asks, all right, I've called you all here because some things are going around, and I just, if anyone would like to admit to saying my name, now is the time to do so. And
Tara's like,
yeah. Oh.
And the thing is, I don't even, like, did she say she told Josh about Jess' name or some, but I don't even think anyone remembered Tara even probably talking about Jess' name. So I was like, Okay, Tara. I mean, own up to your stuff, but
it's like Tara's playing that game where you put the card on your head or whatever, and her card just says, "I'm targeting Jed," and she's just like holding it there, like constantly reminding people, "I want to put Jed on the block."
literally, yeah. I was like, it was very uncomfortable because even for Jed to be like, "Hey, can y'all raise y'all's hand if y'all have said my name?" And Jed, quite frankly, has been starting to irritate the living hell out of me because and I think for him to first off call the house meeting, I was like, oh, come on, dude, this dude is on the block. This dude really does not have a connection with a lot of people, honestly, anyone in this house, because he's kind of, as Rohan said, exiled. You can say himself or the house has exiled him. You can take it either way. I can see it both ways as well. But for Jed to sit his chair in the middle of the room, hey guys, so this is what I'm hearing, and I want hands to be raised. And if you know, Josh, I'm looking at you, and I want you to say something. It just doesn't make sense to me, and I'm just gonna like, it was very pretentious, very. For me, like egotistical, and it was like, do you understand the game? And Jed has done also kind of leaning off the house meeting, but also circling back to house meeting. Jed has done some things. I'm like, yo, you're just trying to, you know, make TV, make moments. And even when his kids with Bethlehem, I think it was like another situation like, oh, let me one up. We can talk about that later. But Jed is just like rubbing me the wrong way. And I think he's also rubbing a lot of other people in the house the wrong way. And so I don't think this was really good for Jed's strategy at all to do. My rant about Jed is over for right now, but we'll get to other things later.
Well, Jed, so Tara says, yeah, I said your name. And Josh says, okay. I talked about you with Kyle and Ro. And so, you know, but that's it. And Austin's like, whoa, no. You talked about Jed with me as well. You told me that I should you nominate a physical threat? Yes. And he's like, no, I did no such thing. I never said a single name to you. And she's like, what do you mean? Yes, you did. And he says, no, Ro wanted to use the veto on me and backdoor Jed. That was Ro's plan. And Ro's just like, that makes no sense. If that was if that was the plan, then why wouldn't you have picked me to play in the veto instead of Tina? Like,
so many holes in his story.
Yeah, if you thought that I was going to use the veto on you to backdoor Jed, then why didn't you pick me to play? That makes no sense.
And Josh could not really like formulate a conducive like argument to that. It's like he was kind of just like talking your story.
I wanted to pick Tina.
It didn't make sense. Rohan handled the situation, I feel like, the best way he could, and I feel like really well. With poking holes into Josh's story with me, it was super easy to poke holes into his story if you were like a logical thinker. And so I was super proud of Rohan, just for like how he handled the situation. But yeah, Josh was just like throwing things at the wall, seeing what could stick. And I don't blame him at all. Like, I was like, I mean, what can he do at this point besides cause more chaos in the house? Even though I don't think this was necessarily helping his game inherently, but I think it got people thinking, which in turn it really did. But yeah, it had a lot of holes into Josh's story through this whole argument.
Yeah, I mean, Ro is definitely very good at immediately finding the sort of logical gaps in or the logic gaps in what Josh was saying. And then making sure to like really harp on those in particular. Even though Josh would sort of like try to rebut, he'd just keep going back to like the points that didn't have a great explanation, in order to keep the story from sounding too believable. So Jed kind of is like, okay, well, can we get back? What about this pretty boys thing? What is going on here? And Josh says, well, I initially talked to Austin about the pretty boys 2.0 and she agreed with it. She agreed with me. And then, you know, that I never threw her under the bus about it, but she agreed about the Pretty Boys 2.0. She's like, what? No, no, Josh, that's a lie. And Jed is like, okay, well, if that happened, did she thank you for not throwing her under the bus afterward? And he was like, yeah, she did. She came up to me and she was like, thank you for not throwing me under the bus.
I love that Jed said that, because I feel like Josh was like, oh, he's kind of, is he believing me a bit? Okay, let me go really go in on this. And then Austin was like, well, I did put you up, so you know how I feel about that. You know where I lie on that spectrum. And so I was like, okay, Josh, kind of continue to fight in this realm a bit.
She then asks, and again, they keep sort of like going back to these kinds of points, but she's like, okay, Josh, if we're so tight, why are you up on the block right now? He's like, because I'm the easiest person to put up. You just took the easy route. Yeah. And you know what? If I stay, I'm coming after you because of it.
Coming after you. It was like, okay. But Josh didn't have in this entire argument. I honestly like some things that Josh was saying in this, and even though it had a lot of holes, and if you're a logical thinker, you could easily poke holes into it, but he was fighting and he was trying to, but the thing with Ro and with Austin, they had people that could help their alibis in a way. Like Austin had Brayden, Ro had Kyle that spoke up for them numerous times in this argument. So it just like really pummeled Josh more into the ground in this. And it was true. Like, taking Josh was the easier option. He was the outcast from the first vote. They say he flipped the house, which I don't really know if Josh flipped the house or if Julie flipped it on herself or if LaToya flipped the house. And so, or I feel like that, I honestly feel like them saying that is them saying like, oh, this is more of a reason why we should get Josh out, because, you know, oh, he flipped the house, even though I don't know if anyone truly believes that he actually did. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So Josh says that he says, you know, if I stay, I'm going after Austin. She's my target. And Toya is like, well, wait, why is she your target? Exactly. He's like,
because she put me off
of the block. It's like, is that it though? Like, yeah. And she let me get thrown under the bus. She didn't back me up at all with the Pretty Boys thing.
Yeah. So
they get back to the Ro and Kyle conversation, and he's like, so yes, so Ro approached me, and Ro's like, no, this is what happened. He pulled us into the OLG room, and he talked about how he wanted to put a physical threat on the block. He talked to us for like 40 minutes and we didn't say a word. We did not say that we wanted to do this. And the implication here as well is that, like, and then I went and told Jed about this right afterward, which really helps sell the story to Jed. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say that out loud in this meeting. And Josh is like, oh, well, it's obvious that these four are working together. Kyle and Ro and Austin and Brayden, they're ganging up on me. It's so easy for four people to make one person look like he's a liar. And Ro's just like, dude, that makes no, why am I on the, if we're in an alliance, why did she put me on the block?
And it was like, so I would go. So it would be a very easy vote for me to go. And I think, though, going back a little bit, I think Ro did say in that argument that he went to Jed right after the conversation and told Jed the plan. And another moment in this entire argument was when they were trying to figure out, Jed was trying to figure out, oh, so did Kyle say it? And then Josh was like, no, he didn't say it, but he was in the room when the conversation was happening. And I know that was like a little contentious point between Ro, Kyle, and Josh, which Josh was saying, did Kyle say it? No, he was in the room. What? It didn't make sense. And then Ro's on the block, the four is working together. Josh, I saw what Josh was trying to do, but the logical point was like, it does not make sense at all. And how can one actually believe this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's, it's, It doesn't work out well for Josh, mostly because there are a lot of like logic gaps here, and he keeps coming to wrong conclusions. but there is a little bit like you know, in talking about Roe and how he handled it, he was great at pointing out these logic gaps. But this is where he would also like go a little overboard, where, you know, Josh had apparently said to Beth that, like, I'm just too smart for this game. I think of too many scenarios. And so they're like, well, Josh, I guess you're just too smart for us. If you were really that smart, you'd be thinking about how this doesn't make sense, dude. And then that's basically where the house meeting like should have ended, because they've talked through all the points, but then like Jed just keeps pushing it, and like question it. Well, okay. Well, Josh, is there anything else that you have to say? And Beth has to eventually be like, guys, let's chill. Like, we're done. He's going out. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. And I felt bad. People can say Josh does it to himself, which I think he can do a lot of it to himself as well. Like twisting people's words, having, you know, arguments that really don't make sense. But when Beth said, Josh, honestly, you're going home. Like, you don't have the votes. Everyone, let's stop berating the issue and let's stop being down. But I'm like, Josh, like, continue to fight. And do you see a way that Josh could have turned this situation around? Like in the house meeting specifically, because it's hard for me to say, like, I mean, he was being targeted. He was like, you know, the gun was, you know, pointed at him, and it was like, he has to say something. And I don't know what he could have said to make the situation better for himself.
No, there wasn't really a win condition here for Josh. He certainly could have argued his point better, but honestly, I think that if he had argued his point better, it would have been even worse for him, because it would have showed that he is a very capable player. And he did kind of lean into that. Like, he was like, look how poorly I'm doing right now. I'm not good. Like, that's why you should keep me and not Ro. And I do think that the meeting overall, even though it didn't go the way that like you would want it to go in terms of convincing people, like in terms of Josh campaigning, it was obviously a failure. But in terms of Josh actually staying in the house, it was great, because, you know, these sorts of things, I talk about it all the time. House meetings, arguments, fights, they're perfect times for people to sort of reconsider their previous notions of where everything stood. And you know, it's this sort of emotional thing that they have to process. And while they're processing it, they're reconsidering everything that goes around it. And so, you know, obviously I don't think Jed intended this, but Jed definitely helped out Josh, tremendously by calling this house meeting, because Josh trying to go around individually and spreading lies, it's so much easier to shut somebody down and quiet them, and you know, discredit them when they're trying to talk to people individually. If it's like a big open, you know, sort of situation where everyone gets to chime in, yes, it's very easy to shut somebody down in that group setting. But it's a lot more obvious that you're doing it, and everyone was able to see that he was being shut down. And again, just like it being such an emotional thing, it provides an opportunity for people to reconsider their previous thoughts about who they like and what they think they should do.
Yeah. And just to echo that point, like Jed calling the house meeting, I don't feel like it did anything for Jed's game or just for his perception in the house, helpful wise. But it didn't necessarily help Josh's game, but it definitely got people thinking. And we saw the main person, I feel like, that was thinking was Ty. And I really loved his kind of thought process going after the argument and kind of seeing like Josh, you know, Josh being like, hey, I'm a threat at this point. Like, everyone is targeting me. Why not keep me in the game? And at that point, I feel like that is Josh's only move, as well as look how horrible I'm doing right now. And so I'm glad that he definitely pushed those points, because it got a logical person like Ty, who is deemed as a big threat, you know, physically wise, to be like, hey, like, could I kind of be the next person if Josh is out?
Yeah. So That's basically the house meeting. Afterwards, there's a lot of conversations about like reassuring each other. Oh, Josh was lying. This is so obvious because of this and this. Lots of those conversations, but also some conversations about like Jed was kind of annoying in there. And you know, that was weird. Victoria and Ty are going to talk. He was probably telling some truth about some of those things.
Yeah. I really like Victoria in this moment because I think Victoria, and she has stated that she wants Josh to stay. Mm-hmm. And when she had the conversation with Ty, I was trying to figure out which way is this going to go, because Ty is perceivably so close to Jed. And Victoria is like going into the ball pit room, which, to take a sideline, do you imagine the ball pit room smells like feet? Because I'm taking myself back to like when I was a child and going into those plastic balls and, you know, people go into barefoot. I'm imagining it smelling like fungus and feet when you walk in there.
Yeah. You know, I'm watching people like dive in and like staying under. And, you know, I know it's pretty new still. And that's what's sort of like I'm telling myself, like they're still new.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm concerned.
They definitely need a Clorox disinfective wipe in the near future.
But like, how do you even do, like, just individually?
What if they have? I was thinking, and probably I'm giving Big Brother Canada too much credit, but I was thinking they may have under the floors like holes, and it can like seep through all the balls that's coming up. It was a dream. So I don't know.
But maybe from above, just like
from above,
just like drip it down.
But then it'll just come on like the ones on top. I feel like
it'll go down, right? I honestly, for me, I was just like they need like a drain on the bottom.
Yes,
that we'll just open the drain and like just suck all of the balls out and then replace them with new ones.
Yeah, true. Because people breathe, people like it's probably moist under there. I don't like the word moist. I know a lot of other people don't like the word moist, so I'll not say it again. But back to the tie, and
I mean, Jacob.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
We know what you like to do. I know pools.
I put a poll up, and it was about 55% saying they don't pee in pools, and about 45% saying they do. And Taryn, you cannot tell me, sitting here with a straight face and with a prominent dimple, that you do not or have not peed in a pool in the last, I don't know, 3 years.
I definitely haven't. Okay, I don't know if I've been in a pool in the last 3 years.
But I heard you on a stream and you also said you don't even pee in the shower.
No.
Okay, then that's weird, Taryn. That's weird.
Why? There's a toilet right there.
Okay, but you're getting into cleaning yourself. Why not? Like, you can direct it towards the drain. It's you're wasting water stepping out of the shower to go use the restroom.
I'm not stepping out in the middle of a shower.
I'm not taking number twos in the shower.
I just want to make sure that there's no ball pit peeing happening.
Taryn, first off, that's sick and disgusting. Yeah, it's very disturbing. Imagine. I am vomiting. Okay.
Anywho,
but the Victoria and Ty's conversation, I like Victoria because she was kind of directly pushing. She was like, honestly, if I was you and Jed, I'd be thinking that maybe I should keep Josh in the game. And for a moment, I was like, wait, what are you doing saying this to Ty? But Ty was kind of in a way thinking that on the same lineage, even though he wasn't probably 100% committed to the idea, he was still going back and forth. And so, but that also made me think, who is Victoria actually loyal to in this game? Because I thought that she was really diehard with Austin and then with Brayden. And then we see her going to LaToya and saying like, nah, you know, I'll put them on the block. And so who is Victoria actually aligned with in the game? Is she only looking out for herself? Which, you know, I admire players should do that. But when she was really hardcore pushing Josh, I'm like, Josh is you know, seemingly so, going after publicly, you know, Austin, who you're really good friends with, who you have an alliance with, and Jed, who I want to say you kind of are working with. And so it just, it didn't, I was confused on where Victoria's loyalties lie.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know. It's not good for Austin or mm-hmm. Brayden or Josh to stay mm-hmm. in any way at this point. Especially he publicly declared Austin is my target. And you know, cause I've kind of been going on the assumption that like Austin is, or that, that Victoria is playing up that she wants to work with LaToya and them mm-hmm. because she knows that she can't trust them, mm-hmm. and she needs to get in with them, but she's actively trying to keep Josh around, who is going after the other people that I thought she was actually maybe loyal to.
Exactly.
Which makes me think maybe she is genuine when she says she wants to go with LaToya, and maybe she does want to go after like Austin and Brayden to some degree. Yeah. Because she's actively trying to make things happen that will lead to those scenarios. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I do not know where Victoria stands in all of this.
Yeah.
But if that is the direction, I don't think this is good for her to keep Josh around as of right now.
Because she, even if she does go to the LaToya side, she's a lone man on the totem pole there. Mm-hmm. And at least with Austin and Brayden, she at least has some social capital with them. But with the rest of the house, Victoria, like, she really doesn't have that much social capital with the prominent figures in the Big Brother Canada house this season. And so I think she just probably likes Josh more. And I can understand, because you have two people on the block, and whichever person stays, you want them to work with you and like you, and you get something out of that. And with Ro, she has, you know, been thinking that Ro doesn't like her, and she's been told that Ro doesn't like her. And so I can get, out of the two, who would Victoria like? Oh, you know, I wouldn't mind if Josh stayed over Ro. I think that is what it is. Not like Josh staying in totality, but if Josh can stay over Ro, I think she's thinking, okay, that could actually be better for me. But I still don't know if it actually is.
Yeah. And I think maybe there's part of it too, where like, she just likes Josh more. And she's probably somebody that, you know, I think would gravitate toward like the underdog, mm-hmm. in the situation. And so maybe that's part of it too, but who knows? Yeah. She talks with Josh and she tells him, look, I don't think you're out yet. Mm-hmm. I want you to stay. And I think you should talk to Ty.
She gave him that little inkling of hope and of advice. And I think that showed Victoria where her like true, you know, heart is in this situation. She does want him to stay. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people talking about how they feel bad about how the house meeting went, that, you know, they don't like that it was a bunch of people ganging up on Josh, but they also just, they don't know how to handle Josh, like when he does this sort of thing, they don't know what to do beyond like try to shut it down. But when they try to shut it down, it feels like they can go overboard and they don't mm-hmm. really know how to handle the situation. Ro and Kyle do both specifically apologize to Josh for getting a little heated when defending themselves, you know, no hard feelings, like and Josh is very much, you know, on board with that. Like, you know, he didn't mean to go at them so hard either. Mm-hmm. And he's sure they'll be friends afterward. I did like that there was some attempt here to reconcile and to figure out, like, is there a better way of doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I really appreciate with the Ro and Kyle type of players, because they get, it's a game, and they mm-hmm. get like, things may get heated. And Ro is a Pisces king. I'm a Pisces king. Do I know that much about Pisces? No, but I know for myself, we can sometimes be emotional. We can be very like strategic in time, but we can also dial it back and understand like the person aspect of things. And like, hey, like, you are a person here. I don't want to hurt you. And that's what I just really love about that conversation that they had. It's like, hey, this is a game. You may have just like, you know, tried to attempt to slaughter my game, but at the end of the day, this is a game and I get what you're doing. And at the end of this, we'll be friends. So it was a very sweet moment for me to see.
Yeah. We got a little bit from Ty and Beth as well. I mentioned that the night before that there might have been some movement in the bed department, and there was. They had a little kiss that they talked about, and they talk about that. They talk about like, if one of them wins HOH, they're gonna have to stay out of the HOH room because they don't want things to get too spicy.
Gosh.
Yeah.
when they were talking about the kiss, they were like, yeah, but you, no one could hear it. Like, it wasn't like a sounding kiss. And like, this is, I'm imagining what a normal kiss, I've kissed people, but I'm like, and Ty was like, I had my mouth where a way it wouldn't make sound. So I'm thinking this is all the kiss was. Like, if it doesn't make a, it was just this. It was just paper touching paper at that point. It wasn't a kiss. Yeah. And then them just going along saying, yeah, if you get head of household, I can't come in there. Immediate showman. So there, I'm like, okay, this week, we will see what Beth get into later. We'll talk about that. But honestly, I'm excited to see Beth confessionals because do I like her, playing this type of game? Honestly, I do. I think it's very, very seedy, very like sultry, very like I'm getting tantalized. My spine is like shivering. And the fact that Jed and Ty both kind of know they have something going, I want to see Beth be a villainous queen and being like, yeah, I'm playing both of these dudes and it's working seamlessly. But I mean, with the house is really picking up on the fact that Beth is really like solidifying herself with these two guys. So I don't think it's helping in that aspect, but I really want to see Beth owning this and being like, yeah, I'm really playing the hell out of these guys. I'm kissing both of them, cuddling with both of them. And who's going to do something about it? No one. I want to see it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Ty also does mention that he feels the need to talk a little more game with Tina because Jed let him know that she might be feeling a little bit excluded. And that's because Beth told Jed that she feels a little bit excluded. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of kissing, Beth is gonna go and she's gonna get a little cheeky with Jed.
And this kiss you could hear.
You could hear it. That's and Jed is trying to get one up on Ty here. Not only because now it's 2-1, but also because, this is a hearable kiss.
This is a hearable kiss. And yeah. Beth is like, yeah, Taryn, imagine going to a person that you've kissed and saying, oh yeah, I just kissed this person. Ew, I wouldn't want to know that. And for Jed, sick ass mind to think, oh, let me one up. Like,
take
Jed,
that, Ty.
Take that, Ty. I thought these were boys. You know what I mean? Like, and this is like, Jed to me is ew. Like, just for him to say, oh, let me one up him. Like, ew. Like, I wasn't a fan of the kiss was nice. It was cute, but I was not a fan of the comment, let me one up him. It was very, can I say like D-bag?
Yeah, sure.
Douchebaggy, but I because some people think douchebag is like, ew, like, I don't know. It was very douchebaggy. It was very D-baggy. It was very like, but Beth took it. Beth taking all the kisses she can. And I want to see her confessional saying, I'm playing both of these guys. But we saw, and I think last episode or the episode before last, I forgot which one. I think it was last episode where she was like, yo, I'm really feeling Ty. But I mean, if she's really feeling Ty, Ty needs to step up his hearable kisses. Cause like this ain't gonna work. We need a little like, but a little ASMR for the people watching.
Oh boy. Yeah. You just, if you're not making sound, is it even happening?
It's not, a legit showman's.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So Ty is going to talk with Tina. And they just check in again, more talk about like, who should we nominate? Well, who will be able to nominate? It doesn't really go that far. He does ask her what her relationship with Ro and Kyle is. She says that they have put out some very preliminary feelers with her, but that's about it. So obviously giving him a little something, but holding a lot back. Tina's also going to talk with Toya. They complain about Jed calling that house meeting.
My two favorite people in the house, LaToya and Tina. Tina and Toya. I love it. I love them so much.
Yeah. They're still locked in together, working together. You know, they're just talking, you know, and then this was interesting. So Kiefer interrupts them. He comes into the room and interrupts them. And it gets very awkward. It's like very like, so what should we do? Well, what are you going to do, Kiefer? Oh, well, maybe like, Victoria, Austin or something. Yeah. Yeah.
It was very much like that, everyone. It was very much like that.
Then Toya gets called to the diary room. And this is what I thought was interesting. Cause I was like Tina, like talk, like, he's going to feel like he just interrupted something. Toya leaves and I loved this from Tina. And it's something that I'm noticing that she's very, very good at the one-on-one conversations.
Yes.
Maybe not as good with the group conversations, but she likes to get people into those one-on-one situations. And so as soon as Toya leaves, her body language, she leans forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Kiefer, like, what do we think? Like, which I love this. Not enough people do this in the game. But like just that shift in energy when somebody leaves, It sells so much of the like, hey, you're the person I'm working with.
Dang, I didn't even get that, Taryn. Taryn, this is why you're so good at what the hell you do. Oh, I saw a thing that I want to highlight in Tina's game, and it's piggybacking off of you. It's hard to maintain different relationships strategically with every member, and they're the Sunsetters. Mm-hmm. Awful name, but they're the Sunsetter Alliance, and it's six people in there. And one thing that I think Tina is really doing really well at is strategically positioning herself with the majority of the people in that alliance. And it's mm-hmm. so hard to do that with such a big alliance, like six people. It's, you know, it's kind of big with such a big alliance because you can kind of venture off with this person and kind of like, you know, silence this other group. But Tina does such a good job. And what you just said, if I ever get like on a show like that, it's like, it's so key because the shift in energy is making Kiefer thinks, oh, like me and you are locked in together. And she has that with Toya. And I feel like even when she was talking to Ty, it was that same energy. And so even, you know, even when we've seen her talk to Beth and Tara. And so, and I want to say this, I watched when, you know, you were on Twitch with Kevin Martin from Big Brother Canada 5 and y'all were doing the rewatch. And Kevin was saying, oh yeah, Tina, she's going to be something. You got to watch out for Tina. And I was like, what the hell are you seeing in Tina to make you jump to this conclusion that Tina is about to be a badass player? But I honestly can see winner energy susses out winner energy. And I am getting a lot of, this is very, early speaking, but I'm getting a lot of winner energy, bad bitch energy from Tina. And I'm here for it and I love it. And what you just said right there, it kind of just like blew my mind of the shifting energy and making Kiefer, making anyone that she thinks when that other person leaves, like, hey, me and you are the real deal. You know, Taryn, you're so smart. Damn it. You're like, your mind is like so powerful.
All right. Well, what I like about it too, is that like when Kiefer walks in, from LaToya's point of view and from my point of view, it was like, oh, Kiefer's really like stifling this guy. Like Kiefer mm-hmm. just ended this. Like Kiefer's the one that's blocking this conversation. But the second Toya leaves and Tina does that, from Kiefer's point of view, it was, I walked in and we were just waiting for Toya to leave. Mm-hmm. She was the one blocking the conversation. And so Kiefer even says to Tina, like, yeah, I just feel like Toya doesn't give me much. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like, I can't just like fully, I wish she would give me more. I feel like I don't fully trust her. And Tina does kind of back Toya up a little bit, like, hey, well, from what I can, you know, gather, I feel like she'd be more with us than with the guys, when it yeah. comes down to it. That's my thought. Obviously, I don't know for sure. We mostly just talk personal stuff because, you know, we can relate to each other, but, you know, I don't really talk game too much with her. Like, with you, we talk game, like we're all, like, on the same yeah. page, but with her, it's a lot more personal. So, I get the feeling that we could be, that she would be with us, but, you know, you can never be sure. But, she's trying to do this. She's trying to vouch without seeming like, mm-hmm. you know, that Toya's locked in with her, right?
Yeah. Locked in. Yeah. I'm excited for Tina, and LaToya has I've liked LaToya from the beginning. Once she stood up and she told Julie with her pinky pointed like this and her chest, you know, out and saying, if you heard your name, you should have. Oh, I was like, oh, come with it. And so I've always liked LaToya, and I feel I feel as though from when I saw her at the beginning in the first episode or the, you know, second episode as well, I was like, oh, how is she going to dial this back? But I feel like she's dialed it back in a very good way. I feel like still strategically, you know, can be aggressive, but I kind of like that. But I feel like she has definitely like meeked herself a lot more than what we saw like on the TV screen. And I feel like it has definitely benefited her. And, you know, with the Beth connection with, you know, the threesome, what are we calling them? What should we call them? Jed, Beth, and Ty. Ted?
Well, I keep accidentally calling them Ted, but where's the Beth in that?
E?
The E, yeah.
And it could be the T too. Oh, wait, no, because no, wait, oh, yeah. So it's Ty, Ted, and then E, and then Ed. I think that's the only way. I don't think it's a natural way to combine the three names. And it's not a hey. But so Beth is kind of taking the heat for that a little bit with those two. And so I think LaToya is definitely in a much better, like, well, I see her being in a much better place. And I feel like I like the projection that I see her game going. Hopefully she can be in it for a long haul.
All right. Well, we're going to need Twitter and Reddit. We're going to need all the social media platforms to get on this. We need a thruple name for
a thruple. For I was going to say that, but Ben. I didn't want to say a thruple. Not bad.
Beth, Jed, and Ty. It's oh, that, bed has to be in there somewhere, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Oh.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. No. That was basically the day. There's from the sounds of it, there is some, you know, based not only on the house meeting, but Josh has also been doing some campaigning this morning, and there is some talk of again potentially flipping this vote around. From the sounds of it, it seems like Tina might actually be on board with it this time, which would be a massive difference. I don't know why she would be. I'm going to have to look into this. I don't think that's the right move for her, but we'll have to wait and see about that. You'll have to find out tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern as I discuss everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Jacob, anything else that you wanted to bring up from yesterday?
I much rather have the Ro and Kyle's bromance over the Jed and Ty bromance, because Jed just pissed me off yesterday. He can redeem himself today, but yet literally I like Ty. I love Ty. Ty's character, Ty's like personality, his strategic mindset. I really love that. And so I really want to highlight, I think Ty is like doing, you know, good things in the game. Jed, but I'm excited to see a kind of Big Brother Canada's. No, this isn't. I'm about to say a threesome isn't a Big Brother Canada's first. But I'm excited.
Who was
excited
it? Was it? Was it Angie last year that came in? Like, I'm gonna have like.
Oh
a,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, like a three. Yes. What was it? There's three showmance or
a three showmance? Yeah,
something honestly, like that. Karen,
that's like my goal. Like that would be so fun to do, but I'm super excited to see Beth confessions because I really want her to, honestly, I really want her to be playing these guys. I really want to see that because we typically see in these games, like the guys, you know, somewhat playing the girls, but I really want to see Beth saying, yeah, I got both of these guys by their balls. And that sounds too graphic, but you know what I mean? And, I'm like, I'm playing the hell out of both of them. I really want to see that because I would love to see Beth be a villain, but I don't think morally she wants to be perceived as that. You know, she's too much of a Southern Belle in Texas, what we call them.
Yes. So far I've seen Bed Tie broke in the chat. And I've also seen Betty Bye. Yeah.
I like them. I like them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we've got for you today. Again, check out the update tomorrow. Tonight, we will be live with a recap for the episode that we'll see later tonight. Hopefully, we get some actual information from this episode. Something to talk about.
Not like last episode.
Yeah. Tomorrow, of course, we'll have the eviction recap. I believe the Stockwatch is up and running. If you had trouble last night, you can go to realitystockwatch.com and make some decisions about who you think is going to do well in the week. Check all that out. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be streaming tomorrow about the Stockwatch. If you need any help or advice, you can check out that stream and I will get you sorted out. Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me. Well, it depends on where you're looking for me at. joking. But I'm typically on Twitter, just, you know, tweeting and retweeting things, sitting around reality television at JacobJ_Jones. And yeah, that's kind of like my life, you know, just easygoing, laid back, chill guy on the feeds and in the streets.
Big brother live feed streets.
Any streets. It's always fun talking to you, Taryn. So thanks so much.
It's always great talking to you, Jacob. All right. That's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us. See you guys later.